You're listening to SBS News.
Alexander Zengerlaub leads the think and do tank Futur 1 in Germany, which looks at the future of digital public spheres. I recently caught up with him in Berlin after an event he was part of to raise awareness among young people about the impacts of disinformation on society and democracy.
My name is Alex. I'm Chief Impact Officer and founder of an NGO called Futur 1 in Germany.
What is disinformation and misinformation? What are the risks around it?
With the digitization, a lot of things change. The way we are informing ourselves and the way how we are communicating, it's much harder than in the good old days of mass media. And this means we live like in the age of information floods. Imagine you're on Instagram or Twitter, you get a lot of information snippets, opinion-based things, fact-check-based, and we are basically overwhelmed to sort these things in the right direction to understand, is this a good information? Is this a lie? And so these new environments for information are very hard to get from A to B.
And what kind of risk does that pose in terms of things like climate action?
If you look at climate change, if people are don't believing that climate change is real, then they will not act and then everything will stay like it is. And then the industry is not like transforming as much as we need into the future when we want to have like regenerative energies like wind energy or solar energy. And this is a risk always to societies if there are voices who are against transformation. And life is growing, it's transforming. So we have to deal with the problems that are around us, and disinformation can stop societies to evolve.
What does disinformation or misinformation look like?
It can be basically everywhere. AI doesn't even play a big role. Even it's out there and the technology is like very disruptive. Most of the disinformation we are seeing are very easily made. We just need to post something. You don't need much technology to spread disinformation. Of course, you can do it with technology like AI. I don't like the term disinformation because it's not really figuring down the problem to its core. The better word would be toxic narratives, because it's also not so much about the information itself. It's about a feeling, a narrative. Narratives that are against human beings, against human rights, against truth, against science or whatever. So I feel like the toxic narrative fits much better to the discussion because you can see how people react to that. They get intoxicated by false information, by these right-wing populist narratives.
How does it gain popularity? Why do we see this disinformation or toxic narratives, as you're saying, gain traction?
It's because of like the information environments. They are made for spreading disinformation. Of course, everyone can be a part of the public debate. That's a cool thing in the beginning because it's like a democratic process that everyone can join, but it comes with some requirements. For instance, news literacy or information literacy. If we are all a part of these information ecosystems, then we need a lot of knowledge to be aware of disinformation, to know what's the difference between opinions and facts, to know what is advertising, what is propaganda.
And how can people spot disinformation? How can they interrogate whether something is fact or not?
Not so easy, to be honest. There's another psychological phenomenon. It's called confirmation bias. It means like everything that fits into my worldview or my mindset, I believe it. Because it really fits the frame or the ideas I have about the world. So the thing is like if we are in these digital environments, then we have to be careful. It's like good to do something like it's called literal reading. It means like you open a second tab in the browser and you Google something that feels maybe shady to you and you're trying to find a second source that is maybe reliable. I feel like we are putting too much responsibility on the people right now. They are coming from the good old days of mass media when you had a newspaper. And the newspaper means like there was a whole news desk working for you, sorting the disinformation out, trying to be on both sides, trying to have good voices and so on. And now everything is now on you and me. We have to now do the fact checking. And this, I feel like, too much. We need like journalism is doing the work for you. Social media should do the work for us. Social media is much more responsible in like working together with fact-checking organizations or like with like systems that are helping people to understand how these platforms are working. You could see it like, for instance, if you're buying a medicament at the pharmacy, then you have this long, long thing where everything is described how it works. Why is not social media sharing these things with you so you have an idea? Be careful about the algorithm. Be careful about disinformation. This is how it works. So it's too much responsibility on us as consumers and too less on these platforms who are doing not much to help us to really understand what is the disinformation.